Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Coach Jen, also from Ocala, Florida. And you are listening to the Horses in the Morning Show on the Horse Radio Network for August, September 10th, 2012, episode 484. This episode is brought to you by our friends over at Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us today on this Monday morning here in, well, I guess it's Monday morning most places. I was going to say here
Glenn,
in the United States.
Wait a minute. It's Monday morning. Tell me where it's not Monday morning.
Well, you know, actually, in all of our listeners down in Australia, it's now Monday evening, late. So that's why I got stuck right in the middle of that thought. Anyway, Jamie is not here. She is recuperating from her weekend. She did post, the only thing I know is she did post on Facebook that she had a good weekend, that she was thrilled with Jet. They came in like 14th or 15th out of 25, and she was very happy. I posted a picture of her this morning. Did you see that, Jennifer, with her new helmet on?
Yeah, she looks pretty spiffy. The two of them are looking pretty buff.
Yeah, they are. I'll tell you what. And that helmet is nice. That's the one she got thanks to the help of our listeners nominating her to win that helmet. And it looks, they apparently only made a couple of those. They would have sold tons of those if they had made them and sold them.
Well, see, that's the thing is you only make a couple of them and everybody wants them. If they're available, then, you know, where's the exclusivity in that?
That's true. That's true. So you'll see them come out next year after everybody goes, where'd you get that helmet? That's a cool helmet. So that'll be... That's posted on our Facebook page. If you want to see Jamie and Jet, she'll be back on Wednesday to tell us all about it. In the meantime, the reason that I got stuck halfway through my sentence this morning is not normal ADD. It's because I'm high on paint fumes. We finally yesterday got around to painting my studio, which was this lovely shade of purple. And I hate purple. It's my least favorite color, purple. So we finally got around to painting my studio this lovely yellowish color. And we're going to need to put one more coat on it. But
What color yellow is it? Tell everybody.
Oh, it's pina colada yellow, which we couldn't quite figure out, actually, why it was called pina colada, because pina coladas really aren't this color. This is more like buttermilk yellow. I'd say buttermilk yellow would be appropriate.
I think buttermilk is good.
But it's much brighter than the purple was, and it doesn't make me mad every time I walk in to go to work in the morning. So it's good.
It just makes you a little sweaty. Open the window, dude.
Yeah, I do have the window open and the fans going because it still smells like paint a whole lot in here. So I'm going to be really, really losing my sentences by the end of the show for sure. Well, Jennifer, we got some fun things coming up on today's show. Do you have that or should we just talk about it?
You can just tell everybody what's on today's show.
All right. We have Crystal Carnes coming up. She is our sort of adopted barrel racer. She also works with Omega Alpha. And she had a terrific weekend up in Canada barrel racing. She's going to tell us all about that. And then we have a Things We All Want to Own segment coming up here this morning with Laura Brady of Concierge Auctions about a nice little property that you would want to own, I'm sure. And later on in the show, we have Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation with her usual stop here at 10 o'clock. We're going to be talking to her about horse colors and markings and also some crazy list making they have been doing over at Horse Nation. And everybody knows how I love lists. So we're gonna be chatting now, about that.
What's really cool is you love lists, but you don't make lists.
No, I love other people's lists because making lists requires effort and work.
And then you have to lose the list and
And besides, if I have to make a list that involves 10 things, I usually my ADD kicks in after about 5 and I'm done. So, you know, that's the other day I did a list on the air and I did the top 5 of something and Jennifer said, you know, there were 10 on there. I said, yeah, but I only have attention span for 5. I can't do top 10. You know, David Letterman, he can do, is it Letterman that does top 10? Yeah.
Yes.
So Letterman does the top 10 every, I'd have to do top 5 because I can't get through 10. It's just way too many. So anyway, we also have some news from the weekend coming up as well, but let's do our daily minis first. Well, our my daily Winnie goes, I think it's a repeat of Friday's, actually. Congrats to our listeners, Lisa and Scott, who actually did get married on Friday. And she was kind enough to post her wedding picture on our page, and you'll find it up there. If you just go to Horses in the Morning on Facebook, you'll see Lisa and Scott, a beautiful place underneath this fancy gazebo. And it looked like it was a beautiful day. And they're actually off on their honeymoon now. And if I remember correctly, they were going to Kentucky. They were going to go see the horse park and do the Kentucky thing. And then, Jennifer, they were going over to the Smoky Mountains, and they were going to do the same trail ride company as we did and take a trail ride into the Smoky Mountains over there.
Oh, cool. They can go ride with Chance.
Yeah, yeah. Gatlinburg over there.
World's best guy, yeah.
So they were going to do that, and we hope to have a good time on their honeymoon. And I know they're not listening to this right now. If they are, the honeymoon's not going well. So,
Do you think that they'll have the turkey land on the horse's head?
That's what happened to my horse when I went on that trail ride.
Make sure you get the turkey-proof horse.
That's right. That's right. Well, Jennifer, do you have a daily wedding?
I do.
I'm trying to find it.
Well, my daily Winnie is for my best buddy and pal, Helena B., who is willing to support any and all of my harebrained and adrenaline-actuated adventures that I convey during our Sunday morning coffee chats. And I'm a little bit envious of her right now because she got to go out riding with the hounds this past weekend, and I did not because our season doesn't start for another 2 months. So thanks for putting that out there, Facebooking it everywhere, Helena. Yeah.
It did look like she had a great time. She had pictures there.
Yeah, good turnout.
She had a couple between the ears pictures of all the hounds up ahead. And
they're walking the hounds. They're not really hunting right yet, but they're same thing.
Did she go up to Myopia?
Yes.
Yep, which is on the North Shore of Boston. Very pretty area.
Beautiful hunting country.
Yes, it is, and there's a lot of land there, and it's a drag hunt, so they're not actually hunting real foxes. They're hunting fox smells that they lay down ahead of time. And actually, it's
fox
not even
smell.
A fox smell, is it? It's something else.
No, it's not, because that wouldn't be a good idea, because then when they found a real one, and there's plenty of real ones up there, you know, the hounds would be off doing things they shouldn't. Actually, the scent they used smelled a little bit like licorice.
Lavender, like Febreze? Did they just spray
a can
of Febreze and just spray it along the route?
Well, I would like to get, and maybe Helena can work on this for me, I would like to get somebody on who is the huntsman for a drag hunt and a huntsman for a live hunt and talk about how they train the hounds. Because you can train a hound to follow any scent. You know, it's a training process. But I don't know how that works, and I'm really curious.
Yeah, that's good. That'd be fun. Well, that's what a drag hunt is. So that's what they do up there. Now, down here, is it a live hunt or a drag hunt?
The fox hunt that is north of us is a drag, and the fox hunt that is south of us is a live. So I have my choice.
Oh. You always like the drag hunts, because one of the things that people don't realize in live fox hunting is, yes, there's an adrenaline rush, and you go like crazy, and you jumps. And then the rest of the three quarters of the time you're out there, you're just standing waiting for the hounds to do something. So it actually can get boring if they're not on a line for anything. It can be not exciting because you're just following the hounds wherever they go. On a drag hunt, the hounds are pretty much going the whole time.
Well, they can plan that ahead of time. And when you go on a live hunt, you don't know if you're going to be out for an hour and a half or four and a half. You just don't know
if
you get there. Yeah. But on the other hand, watching the hounds work a live line is much more interesting if you get to ride in the front and you can see the hounds. When they're working a line on a drag hunt, it's really not all that exciting. I mean, there's a scent in there, one of them finds it, and off you go. But when you watch the hounds work a live scent, I love the fascinated with, because they do kind of work as a little team in there, and they still can't manage to catch the fox. So that part of it, there's a plus. You know, so there's a trade-off for each of them. So I'm gonna see if I can't mix it up this winter and do a little of each.
Well, they can hunt in our backyard because we have a couple of foxes that come through on a regular basis, right through our backyard, right through Beakersfield.
Right through Beakersfield. And you know why? Because yep. I think they like his catnip fly spray.
That's it. Really Bad Ads will be back on Friday, so I wanted to mention that. If you want to get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and that'll be back on Friday. Jane, you'll be here. So tomorrow, we're going to do a special show for tomorrow. I wanted to announce this first thing this morning, and I need your help. We're going to do, it'll be a recorded show, but it'll be a special recorded show that we're putting together later today. We're going to do a 9/11 tribute show. And we're calling it Where Were You on 9/11? And we want to hear from our friends and horse people and listeners about where you were and what you were doing. It doesn't have to be horsey necessarily, but we thought it would be fascinating to put together the stories of where people were. And I already had several people call in to our voicemail line and leave the message about where they were that will play on the air tomorrow. And then we'll have a couple tribute that things that we play as well. So it's going to be a more serious, somber show tomorrow. And, you know, obviously 9/11 here in the United States means something. And, you know, around the world, I'm sure, too. So we're going to be putting that special show for you together today, talking to quite a few people and finding out where they were and hearing their stories of that morning. Because, as I said, we all have our stories.
Give people the number, Glenn.
Yep, and if you want to call in and leave a voicemail for us to play tomorrow morning, we would certainly appreciate it, especially all of our regular listeners here to Horses in the Morning. It's 270-803-0025, 270-803-0025, and we'll post that again on Facebook so that it's there at the top of the list today so that you can give us a call. Please give us a call this morning or early afternoon, because we'll be putting that together later in the afternoon. So get your voicemails in this morning. We would really, really appreciate hearing from you. Even if what you were doing, you know, doesn't sound like it was real exciting, give us a call anyway, because we would love to have your messages. And I just think it's fascinating to hear people's different viewpoints on it as well. Now, Jennifer, we announced last week that there was an auction going on for some horses. And if you remember right, they were the horses that were repossessed from Rita Crundwell, because she was arrested for stealing like $58 million from a little town out there in the Midwest. And she had 400 or so quarter horses. And
I feel a list coming on. I feel it. A list
that?
Is coming on.
No, this, well, it's sort of not a list. But it is a list. There are 20-some of them now that are for sale actually on a website called professionalauction.com. And I thought we'd take a look this morning and see what the prices were going for. Now, she owns some very well-bred quarter horses and some real champions. I don't know which batch of this they are, because I don't know my quarter horses really that well. But just
we
take
can kind
look
of tell
the
by
prices.
The price tags.
Well, okay. Let's take a look at that. 1900, 26,000, 1100, 32,000. That seems to be one of the highest ones. That's a 2005 sorrel mare. Five-time world champion halter mare. There you go, $32,000. Here's one that says it's an embryo, but there's a picture of it. I don't know what that means exactly. It says 2013 embryo.
No, if you look at the lot number six, recipient mare. It's a two-for-one package.
$3,300. Yeah, for that one. Not even born yet. 27,000. That was for one that's a top 10 Congress Masters Hunter under saddle. 12,000 here. That was only third in the World Show, so I'm not going to buy. Reserve champion, 4,100, 5,700, 18,000, 38,000. Let's see if we can find 38,000 seems to be the highest. Let me see if I can find the lowest, the bargain here. 1,100 bucks. Oh, that's also an embryo. That one ain't born yet either.
Oh, here we go. Lot number 39, $1,200. 2000 model sorrel stallion.
Well, there you are. If you want an old stallion, you can get it cheap at this auction. It's professionalauction.com, and the rest of the 400 or so horses that they had are going to be going up at the live auction coming up very shortly as well. But
bunch of recipient mares that don't have any bids at all. So you can buy yourself a grade fertile animal with an expensive embryo, and yeah.
All right, a couple other news things before we get to our first guest here. One is, this caught my attention, has nothing to do with horses, but it was kind of interesting. It's a headline. Emma Watson, and you'll know Emma Watson from Harry Potter. Emma Watson is the most dangerous celebrity to search for online. Well, I saw that one. What the heck? Apparently, the spamming companies and the malicious companies out there, the malicious hackers, take people's names, the most popular searches, and build websites around them. And apparently, if you search for Emma Watson, it's the favorite celebrity date for cyber criminals trying to lure internet users. They say that one in six websites that show up when you search for Emma Watson are actually malicious websites that if you go to them, you're going to get a virus. So
really?
So don't search for Emma Watson. And if you do, only go to websites that you're absolutely sure what they are. They said, so you have a very good chance of getting a virus if you go to, if you're just clicking on website after website after website. And some of these viruses, just if you click on the website, it automatically downloads to your computer. They said the other names that are top the list this year are Heidi Klum, and also Jimmy Kimmel was up there on top of the list. And then also others, Jessica Biel, Eva Mendez, Selena Gomez, and Halle Berry. So pretty women pretty much just top the list of people that they target for malicious software. So keep that in mind as you're doing your Google searching this week. Or if your kids are doing Google searching for these names, please warn them as well. Well, we have our first guest on here. We have Crystal Carnes, who is with Omega Alpha and is also sort of our adopted barrel racer. And good morning, Crystal.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. And I saw your post, and we had to get you on this morning because you had a very, very exciting last week or so, didn't you?
Yeah, I have. I competed at my National Barrel Racing Canadian Finals, and it went really, really well. Sometimes things go a little better than you expect. So.
And this was better than you expected?
Well, it was more the arena conditions. I never really actually had much luck in that arena, and I don't know what it is. I don't know. Some arenas, some horses, I think it's just the footing. But I don't know what they did this year. I think they raked it up a little deeper, and my horse seems to like the deeper footing, and that way she can slide around the barrels easier, and it just came out really good for me with both horses.
How good? Tell us how good.
Yeah. Well, my one mare, I've had her for quite some time now. We bred and raised her, and she got reserve champion overall for the finals.
Hey!
But, yeah, and you know what? That was only by 0.2 of a second. Or, sorry, 0.02
wow.
of a second. Yeah, the girl that beat me, she's an awesome little rider. And for up here in Canada, she's one of our top riders also. And she's pretty competitive. And she was on a new mare this year. And her name's Leslie Richards. And she's absolutely amazing. But you know what? I couldn't have lost anybody else as good as I had this year. So she definitely deserved the win, as she had lost a horse last year. But For her to come back and beat me and Sunita, when Sunita is such a top competitor, every time she gives it 100% every time she goes on that ring, I was pretty happy. So
that's you bring up a question about the footing. Is that something that they try? That is there regulations on the footing? Is it something that they try and make the same in each arena, or is it just sort of a haphazard thing?
It is. They do. I don't know if they have such, like a regulation, but they have a standard where the footing has to be vaguely the same in every arena. So it has to be a very good footing, soft footing, nothing like gravelly, no grass, anything like that. It can't be dirt, a plowed up field dirt. It has to be like arena dirt. It has to be like sand. And it has to be safe conditions too. It can't be too deep, because then you're risking injury. And then if it's not deep enough, then you're risking slips and falls.
Now, are championships like this always done indoors, or can they be done outdoors too?
Yeah, they can be done or both inside or outside. The only reason why mainly they do them inside is because they have presentations, and we do a lot of night runs too. So they have to have the lighting and the consistency all the way around. And not just that, usually they're done at the end of the season, so it's kind of cold. So they usually like to do them inside so that, spectators can watch and not be freezing cold, and weather conditions don't kind of put a damper on things.
Now, how many rides will you do, like this weekend where you ended up with reserve champion? How many rides will that horse do?
My horse, Sunita, she did 6 runs all weekend. So that was quite a few.
So they do quite a few, yeah.
Yeah, she does 2 or 3 a day. And, I mean, you don't think, running 2 or 3 times a day is that much. But when they're, out there and they're giving everything they have, I mean, it is quite a bit. It's nothing like a standardbred. I mean, I could never see one of them doing 2 of those races in one day, because they're long-lasting. But really, our horses are only in the ring between 14, 16 seconds, depending on your horse. So really, they have a good recovery rate. By this time, they should anyways.
Right. Well, so now what does that? Now what do you do next? Is the season officially over then, or will you head somewhere else?
For my national barrel racing, it is over for my district, my area. Ontario is broken up into districts. Some districts, they have a couple more shows, and their points will, carry through to 2013. But I do have a couple fairs that I go to here and there that are just kind of something fun, and, get my horses out and, keep them going. I still have the All-American Congress down in Columbus, Ohio, I'm going to for the first time this year. And
are you
going
to go to Congress?
I am, so I'm super excited. I've never been in my life, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Well, bring a lot of money, because that's a shopping palooza.
I've heard. So I've been doing a lot of clinics to try and raise some funds for my spending. Just kidding.
You know what amazes me about Congress, Crystal? And I'm sure you guys are probably more used to this than we are on the English side. But when you go, when you go to Congress, it's huge, by the way. It's for anybody who hasn't been there, it's in Ohio. It's probably in one of the It's kind of like in an unlikely place that you would find a quarter horse Congress. It just seems kind of weird where it is. But you go there, and it's huge, and they, you park, and they take you on tractors and big wagons in, because you probably have to park so far away. But when you go through the stabling area, where you'll probably be if you're bringing your horses, and see the millions and bazillions of dollars worth of motorhomes and fancy trailers, it is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, we have a nice trailer, all done up with the living quarters, and of course the Omega Alpha stickers and sponsor stickers on the side. So mine sticks out pretty good. But you get there, and some of these trailers are, worth as much as a small house.
Exactly.
I could just live in that year round, but I'm quite comfortable with what we have, and it's easy and it's economical to drive these distances. And I mean, it gets our horses from point A to B quite safely. So, but it is quite amazing, the trailers and the units that you see down at these big shows.
Well, you're going to have a blast at Congress. You will have so much fun down there, and course, anybody that's anybody in the quarter horse world ends up at Congress from the United States or Canada. Both all head to Congress, and they get like 100,000 people. It's amazing audience there too.
Yeah, I heard from reading the book that they had over 20,000 entries, like you know, overall. So I thought that was pretty amazing.
It's huge. Now, will Omega Alpha have a booth there?
Yeah, they will. I think it's in a bit of Britain, or Big D's. Big D's, I think it is. They're going to have a booth down there, and there will be a representative down there, I think, on weekends. I haven't heard too much, but I'm hoping to stop by the booth if I get a minute in between my runs. And I'll be running from the 24th to the 28th of October.
Okay, great. Well,
yeah.
Tell us, too. Now, you had posted this morning that you use, and Omega Alpha is our title sponsor for today, that you use their products, and one of them you mentioned was the Respa-Free. Tell us why you use the Respa-Free on your horses.
I use the Respa-Free because mainly I have a horse here right now that last year I was at a show, and I woke up and she was coughing, and this was hugely abnormal for my horse. And I was a bit worried. We took her out. We did run her to see if, you know, it was something that she would just kind of, it would go through. But then things went downhill really quick. We called the vet out to the show, and he thought she might have COPD. So when we got her home, we had another vet come and check her out. And we've had her checked out two or three times now since, just to make sure she's okay. And this year, we took her to our vet close to here, and he said that she's just got like a serious case of allergies. You know, certain times of the year they're going to affect her. And I had to put her on medication, and she was also on needles. And she was on that for about a month at the beginning of this season. And she was really bad, to the point where I'd be ponying her and we'd start going up a hill, and she, you know, she'd get a third way up the hill and she would have to stop because she just couldn't breathe anymore. So, you know, I had to turn her around and bring her back home in a walk. So after the first month of treatment, I had to go through the Congress book to make sure that, you know, whatever she was on wasn't going to affect her. And it turns out that she couldn't be on some of the medication that she was on. So I had to find another way, and I weaned her off of her medication. And since March, April, I would say she's been on just Respa-Free and completely off of her medication, and she's had absolutely no episodes of allergies. Very few coughing spasms, in which, you know, she'll have a cough here and there, but nothing serious. She's able to go out and do her half-hour jogs, no problem now, and have tons of energy going up and downhill. So, I mean, without that Respa-Free, I wouldn't be able to go to Congress because she would have that medication in her, and I mean, the Respa-Free has pretty much saved her barrel racing career this year. I honestly thought I wasn't going to even have a horse this year, so I'm definitely thankful for that.
So with the Respa-Free, it doesn't test then? Is that the,
no.
Is that why?
No.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah, it
That's
doesn't
great.
Test, so there's like there's
it's
nothing.
All natural.
It's completely natural, and it's probably one of the best products they have, because it's a complete product for the respiratory system. It's got lung flush, it's got herbicoff, and it's got airwaves in it. So, I mean, I can't ask for anything more in one product. So it covers all the dynamics of the respiratory system. And, I haven't used any medication. We still have three needles left over. We still have half a canister of her powder left over. And I haven't had to use any of it all season.
Wow. Well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
And that's Respa-Free. You can find it at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's one of the products we actually haven't talked about too much here on the show with Dr. Chang,
yeah.
But I saw you used it, and I said, I'm going to learn more about that product. Because that is something, you know, respiratory issues are something that many, many horses have. It's probably one of the most common things that horses end up with, because we keep them in so much and that kind of thing.
It was big because her biggest outbreaks of allergies would be mainly when she was running in an indoor arena, because of all the, you know, because when I run, they drag with those tractors every five horses. Well, you've got the toxins from the tractor's engine. You've got the dust particles in the air. You've just got everything and anything you can think of in that air, you know, kind of captured in that arena. So they go in there, they're running as hard as they can, and they're inhaling all of that. Well, the respiratory helps clear all of that out of their lungs, and they can stay on it for a long period of time, too.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you so much for letting us know about that. It's you can find that at OmegaAlphaEquine.com, along with all of their other terrific all-natural products. And I have a favor to ask. When you head to Congress, you'll be going October 24th through the 28th.
Yes.
Can we check in with you, maybe get a live report from Congress?
Yeah, I can try and see what I can do for sure.
Well, that would be great. Well, good luck with that, Crystal. It's good to have you on again, and we'll be watching your progress through Congress.
Great. Thank you so much.
Well, that's Crystal Carnes, and she is our sort of adopted barrel racer from Canada, and it's always nice to speak with her and have her on the show. A couple other news stories here before we get to the next guest. Jennifer has them booked up solid today. There were record crowds of fans at Calgary Spruce Meadows Masters, which is the world class jumping show that's held up in Canada every year. And they actually had, they had about $1 million in prizes, but they had 61,000 people show up on Friday for that jumping show. And that did set a new benchmark and a new record. They had 84,000 people show up on Saturday, and that was down a little bit from last year. But think about that. That's 84,000 people showing up to watch a horse event in one day. It's an amazing numbers they get up there in Calgary, and this is a huge, huge show. And one of the announcements that came out from Calgary, and it's too bad that Jamie's not here because she likes this guy. Eric Lamaze announced, the Canadian Olympian, he's taking a break from show jumping. He's going to take the rest of the year off. He won the equestrian gold medal in 2008 at the Beijing Games, and he plans to skip the remainder of this season with an eye to returning in 2013. He's 44 years old. He's from Ontario, and he said in a statement Saturday that after many years of contesting the sport at a top level for 12 months a year, week in and week out, I'm looking forward to making a little break and enjoying myself by traveling and playing a little golf. He was competing at Spruce Meadows, and of course, you know, he is well known for having Hickstead, who collapsed and died at the World Cup qualifying event in Italy this year. In the past 12 months, he said, has been extremely difficult and emotional for me. The London Olympics were supposed to be Hickstead's games, and I never imagined that I would go without him. It's hard to describe how difficult it was to lose Hickstead and yet not want to let down my country, my teammates, and everyone who stood beside me. So I think he just needs a little mental break. He's going to be taking the rest of the year off. So
yeah.
There's a big happening. What's that?
The jumpers are one of those disciplines. They really don't have an off season.
No, it's 12 months a year, and it's constantly either. And they're never home. They're always traveling from one event to the next.
Yeah.
Very tiring. And, of course, you know, losing Hickstead was a major trauma for him emotionally. And I think he's just he's 44 years old, not had a break in a long time, and was ready to just take some time off. He said he's going to do some golfing and do some traveling.
Yeah,
look,
after he played a little
off,
bit of golf, horses will seem so much less frustrating.
He should be actually staying home because, you know what, you travel all the time. I mean, he should be staying home for while he takes his time off. There. Although it is Canada and it's cold in the winter, so maybe not so much. Well, let's get to our next guest here. We love doing this segment every once in a while, where we highlight things that we all want to own as horse people. And one of those things that we all want to own is a super duper spiffy fancy property. And there's one that we came across recently it's been put up for auction by Concierge Auctions. And we have Laura Brady here from Concierge Auctions to talk about this particular property. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. This is one of our favorite segments that we do just because mainly we like drooling over pretty horse places. And my God, you have a pretty horse place here.
It sure is. It's a very special place.
This is called Rocky Creek Ranch. We mentioned it once before on the show, but we really didn't go into great detail about it. It's near Charlotte, North Carolina. Tell us about this place.
It is. It's actually just 50 miles north of Charlotte, so it's a very convenient location. Some interesting things about Rocky Creek Ranch is that it's actually never been on the market before we launched it for auction just a couple weeks ago. And it has had only two owners in the last 110 years, so it's a very historic location. Actually, the property itself was originally part of Old Stagecoach Road, which ran through Washington, D.C. to Atlanta, Georgia. So again, a lot of history dating centuries back. But the property itself is 517 acres. For the horse lover, there are 8 miles of riding and hiking trails. It has rolling pastures, wooded hills, and wide open spaces. It's just a lot to offer, a lot of different terrain among that 517 acres.
And an absolutely beautiful barn. I mean, the barn is beautiful. The tack room in the barn is beautiful. It's just a beautiful place.
It is. Actually, the tack room it's beautifully outfitted. The tack room is fully furnished. It's selling fully furnished as is. The remainder of the property is as well. There are actually 4 homes on the property, 3 homes for residents and guests, and then there's a caretaker home as well. So there's a lot of space, again, to offer. Yes, as you said, the horse facilities are just incredible. I mean, they're in beautiful shape. There's also a horse washing bay. There's a lounge. There's a kitchenette in the lounge and a full bathroom. There's also an adjoining riding ring and pastures. So, and again, the 8 miles of trails that I mentioned. So there really is a lot to enjoy here.
Well, and then let's also mention the 4 houses and the big main house, which has a kitchen that's out of this world.
It does. It does. And you're speaking of what we call the mill house. The mill house is on a bluff. It actually has 3 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms, as well as a screened sleeping porch. So this home alone has the ability to accommodate a lot of different, you know, visitors or residents. The kitchen itself is really, really beautiful. I mean, it has built.
The island and the kitchen, you couldn't reach the middle of it. It's huge.
It is. It is huge. It is. Now, actually, you know what? I'm speaking of another kitchen because both of these houses have great kitchens. This one with the island is the gatehouse. You know, again,
really?
it's a very large home. That one has 4 bedrooms and 4.5 bathrooms. So when we're speaking of this property having 4 homes, I mean, really, each home in itself is an amazing property. So it just wrapped all together is a great space.
Well, I was drooling. I don't know which home this is or whether the one that sort of has an outdoor kitchen, the big grill and all that stuff.
That's actually the Lake Pavilion. So that's a good one to point out. The Lake Pavilion is really meant to be the gathering space of the entire ranch. So you think about, you know, having 517 acres that's spread out. If you have a lot of friends and family enjoying the place or using it as a corporate retreat, there's, you know, time during the day for everyone to make their own space, but then they can all gather at the Lake Pavilion. So this is a great structure that's overlooking the lake, which, you know, you can canoe on the lake, you can fish there. You can, you know, there's a sandy beach, you can swim, but that screened in area is just really incredible. It has a beautiful kitchen. It has a large gas grill. You know, you can think you're cooking for dozens or even hundreds of people there. It has an outdoor pavilion that's open air. So that's a really cool location.
Now, Laura, the 4 homes that are on the property, are all 4 of the homes modern builds, or are some of them from way back in the day when the property was originally settled?
That's a good question. They all, in fact, are more modern builds.
Mm-hmm.
So
none of them will have termites.
Yeah, they all have electric.
They all have electric and nice bathrooms. But they are, if you see the photos, and we'll give the URL for folks listening to go and view them, they were all created to be really in keeping with the history of the property. So, for example, the bunkhouse is an authentic log cabin structure, you know, with a metal roof. And so they're all very quaint and look as if they belong on the property, but they do have the modern conveniences that most of our buyers of this type of property are looking for today.
Well, and I was looking at the pictures here, and, you know, this is just one of those unbelievable places. Now, this is being put up for auction, and it says without reserve. Does that mean I have $1,000 in my bank account right now? I'm going to get this place?
Well, yes and no. It is selling without reserve, meaning that it will sell to the highest bidder on September 27th. But with that being said, we are quite confident that it will go for $100,000. Now, go for more than, excuse me, gosh, it is going to
I was going to say, is it
like,
go for $100,000?
No. And gosh, if we weren't live, I'd take that out. But gosh, it is going to go for a great price because it is just a really special place. The truth is, you know, it hasn't been on the market forever and has only had two owners in 110 years. So the owners really understand our process, and we auction very unique, one-of-a-kind ranches and estates similar to this property, whereas it's very difficult to value what this property is worth. You know, it's not comparable to anything else.
In the real estate business, unique is not necessarily good. So does that translate, and this is just a generic question in the real estate industry, when you have a unique property like this that has not been on the market, does that make it more difficult to find the buyer because it's not been out there in the public view?
Well, actually,
maybe sold 10 times in the past 20 years.
Well, if it has not been on the market for view, certainly there's interest that is generated that you know, from folks that find this at, you know, surprising and they haven't seen it before. It's something new to them. You know, we really view our process as being similar to auctions of other fine goods, such as art and antiquities. So these types of items, again, that can't be valued against others because they are so unique. So regardless of, you know, how many buyer prospects were able to identify, you know, from advertising the property, it's really going to come down to those few that truly understand the uniqueness, the value, you know, the offering here in its location, how many acres it has, you know, all of that. So we look forward to just opening the bidding to those that handful of folks on September 27th.
Now, we've been in that area, and that is in the heart of country. So I guess there's a good chance that you could get somebody from the NASCAR world that could buy this as well.
That is true. We have had interest from that type of buyer, you know, whether they're in the industry or fans of the industry, certainly.
Yeah, because all the shops are around there. You're right. You're right around where they all build their cars and do all have their shops is right in that area.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. And I will also point out, you know, that the reference to what we believe the property will go for or whether you can be involved, in order to register, our bidders need to, number one, sign the terms and conditions of the auction, which set forth how the auction will be conducted. They also need to deposit a bidder's deposit of $250,000. So, you know, again,
all right, that cuts us out, Jennifer. We're off the list.
We're just barely.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you know, that's really showing us before we begin to vet them, because there is further vetting that's conducted by our company to ensure that the bidders, you know, are ready to bid. That's one amount. So really, we want real interest to step forward, people who, you know, want to come and see the property. And it is open by appointment daily. So anyone who's interested, truly interested in bidding can come and see it. They can, you know, bring, you know, family, friends, interior designers, architects, you know, inspectors, whatever is necessary for them to really review the property and be certain that they are confident to bid on the 27th.
Imagine everybody, you know, the all horse people, when you said, there was one thing you said that caught my attention, and it catches the attention of all horse people. When you can have 8 miles of trails on your own property, that is something to die for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that we all dream about, because we always are trying to find new places to go on trail rides without having the trailer and all of that. And you're talking 517 acres. I know we owned 120 at one point. And, you know, that we could ride around our property, it would take an hour. You know, a property that's 517 acres, you can ride for several hours, and it just is just wonderful to be able to do it on your own property. So this is a neat, neat place. And as you said, it hasn't been on the market. It's only had two owners in the last 110 years. So I'll be very excited to see who ends up with this, and I hope they're horse people. That's what we're praying for.
That's right, and on that comment, I'm looking at the trail map right now. I mean, it just is, it's an amazing series of, you know, paths that can be taken, and, you know, again, either on horse or hiking, it's really nice the way it's configured.
Well, this is the Rocky Creek Ranch, and you can find it, but what's the website that they can go and see pictures and everything?
So they can get there either at rockycreekauction.com or simply ranchauctions.com.
Okay, so rockycreekauctions.com or ranchauctions.com. And Jennifer will post a link on our Facebook page to it as well. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Laura. It's always fun. Everybody go out and play the lottery today. You have to win quickly. So you need your $250,000 deposit to fill up.
That's right, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the 27th.
All right, good luck with it. Thanks, Laura.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Jennifer, did you buy the lottery tickets yet? Because this is a nice place. I could live here.
Isn't that beautiful? Goodness gracious.
Yeah, and it comes with a Earth Master tractor. For some reason, they posted a picture of the tractor, and I've never heard of Earth Master.
It's an antique tractor.
I know, but have you ever heard of Earth Master?
No, I haven't, actually. It looks like a farmall to me.
It does kind of look like a farmall that they repainted or somebody made different. But it is an absolutely beautiful place. Go ahead and post the link to the pictures. You have to see the pictures of this place. And one of the things that they did a good job with at Concierge is most of the times when we highlight these places, there's like no pictures of the horse stuff. You know, none of the barn or there's none of the pastures. This one you can really see all the different horse stuff, and they've taken their time to highlight that. So that is cool. They did a good job with that because this truly is about a horse place here. It really is a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Nice place.
Yep.
Nice place. And you watch somebody going to buy it and put cows. That's what's going to happen.
Well, cows will be suitable. Yeah.
Earth Master.
Now I'm going to have to Google Earth Master Tractor.
That's why, if anybody knows about Earth Master tractors, Glenn might, who's probably listening right now. If you know what an Earth Master tractor is, let us know because we have no idea. Put it on Facebook. Well, we're going to be back in just a minute. We have to take a break here for Equestrian Collections, and then we have a song from Tabitha Thompson called Tall in the Saddle. And then we have more show coming up for you. We have some fun stuff that Leslie from Horse Nation is bringing to us today. We'll be right back. Glenn back with you from the Horse Radio Network. I'm here with Debbie with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week we're talking about the Equestrian Collections Savvy Shopper email newsletter. Here at Equestrian Collections, we send out a newsletter twice a month with interesting information and really good information from our vets and people around the globe that have good information for your horse and yourself. For instance, one of our employees was involved in the fire in Colorado, and she sent out information on how to prepare for evacuation. So there's all kinds of really pertinent information that we send out in our newsletter. That's twice a month. And every Friday, we send out a sales flyer, so our savvy shoppers get all the updated information about the sales that we have on our website. In order to sign up for Savvy Shopper, you just go to the website, and on the front page, on the home page, down there about halfway down, it says sign up for exclusive emails. Now, when you sign up, don't worry about, we do not sell your emails. We don't do anything except for send out this information to you, to the email that you give us. And it's very easy if you move or anything and you want to change your email address, you can just reply to that and we can take care of it for you. But it has lots of we have a vet on call that actually writes for us. The one where our employee was involved with the fires in Colorado, it had a companion piece from the vet on what to do about burns. So it's just really pertinent information and that we would like for our customers to have at the tip of their fingers. And I want to also mention that on our website, under our help button, you'll have a whole list on the right-hand side of all the older ones that the vet has done and that we've had on there. So if you have a question on, for instance, how hot is too hot to ride, how cold is too cold to ride, what to do about overheating horses, anything like that, it's all right there at your fingertips anytime you want it at www.equestriancollections.com.
When you ride.
Well, that was Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. And, of course, that one was called Tall in the Saddle. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Coach Jen. Jamie is recovering from her weekend show. She'll be back on Wednesday. She'll be your Wednesday and Friday this week. So we'll hear all about that, I'm sure, on Wednesday. And this show today is sponsored by Omega Alpha. You can find all of their great products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And I wanted to mention also that Coach Jen, of course, is the host of the Horse Tip Daily Show. You can check that show out over at HorseTipDaily.com. Jennifer, you have, is it over 700 tips on there now?
Not quite to 700. We're at 684.
684 tips you can listen to. And, of course, those aren't time sensitive. You know, they're good anytime you listen to them. So you can go back to number one and just listen your way through all of those. I hosted that show for a while. And then, thankfully, Coach Jen took over because she's much better at actually knowing about training things than I am. But she has some great guests on there, and some what we do also is we take some of the highlights from the other shows. If there's tips on other shows here on the network, we'll consolidate them all over onto Horse Tip Daily. So whether it's training or you know, we've done anything from photography to business to running your horse business, you know, accounting, everything can be found over there at Horse Tip Daily at horsetipdaily.com. Well, next up, we have Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation here. Every Monday, she stops by about this time to talk about what's going on over at horsenation.com. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, guys.
So good to have you on this morning. How are things in Tennessee?
Deeper. The weather's cooling down a little bit, which is very, very welcome. And had a nice, quiet weekend. And everything's great. we've had
Tennessee
some fun
is,
stuff.
By the way, Leslie, do you know where Blount County, Tennessee is? Blount County?
I sure do, yeah.
well, there was a little rescue up there in Blount County. We love covering horse rescue stories, and we stopped doing it so much because they're all about the same, and when we find one that's a little bit different, then we cover it. And I got to tell you about this one in your state. It was this blind horse. Now, get this. A blind horse that these people had gotten off of Craigslist. He said his wife's dream was always to own a horse, and they found a free horse offered up on Craigslist. So they decided to check it out, and they discovered that this horse had moon blindness, and she could see shadows, but that's about all. So their hearts went out, and they took the horse home. How many times have we heard this story? They took the horse home. Well, apparently the horse did not see the 25-foot deep sinkhole that he fell into. Fell into the sinkhole. Apparently they called the fire department about 4:30, and about 40 people showed up from the fire department and others, including four veterinarians, two from the University of Tennessee, who showed up. They had to tranquilize the horse, and believe it or not, they said it was an absolute miracle. Apparently it was a narrow hole. It wasn't real wide, and the horse just fell straight down the hole. And they said that the horse miraculously was not hurt, and that they managed to hook the old fire hoses to it and get it up out of the hole. And they got it out after about 4 hours. At about 8:30, they managed to get it out. They tranquilized it and everything. And it looks like the horse is going to be okay.
Oh, my goodness. That's wild. You would be amazed at how, you know, every day I Google horse and, like, do a Google News search for the word horse. And horses will fall into the craziest things. Like
swimming pools seem to be really popular. Swimming pools.
Horses are all the time falling into swimming pools. Oh, my goodness. I'm like, really? Really? But I guess they just, you know, they walk out onto the – I think it especially happens when people have tarps over their – covers over their swimming pools, and the horses just walk right out onto it. But it's like, really? I'm like, where are you going? You know, there's no grass out there, you know? I don't know. And what are they doing in the swimming pool, like, in the swimming pool area anyway? Like – you would think that they would put the owners would put a fence around their pool.
That's what I always thought is, where's the fence around the pool? You know, you usually have some states require a fence around the pool, but you know, just because of kids more than anything. But then it, you wonder why their horses are in the backyard. But I'll tell you what, though, living in the neighborhood we do, what they tend to do in this neighborhood, because it's an equestrian neighborhood, and they're all 5 acre or more lots, is they tend to fence in the entire property with wood fence, and then they just put the horses out. So the horses are in the yard, they're in the driveway, you know, they're all around the yard. So see, we're so used to places where, you know, you have your paddocks out back and your yard is not your paddock. But in a place like we live, the yard is your paddock. You know, the horses are just everywhere.
And nobody minds too much having their driveways pooped on and stuff like that?
I guess not. You know what would be the problem is here is Beacon always, we'd open the door and he'd be trying to get in the house. That's the problem we'd have with Beacon. Trying to get in the house all the time.
Hilarious.
Well, what's going on over at Horse Station?
Well, we've had some fun stories this past week. Let's see. One that I was going to tell you about was about, it started with a conversation between me and the owner of a chestnut mare out at the barn. And you know, everyone's heard that saying, you know, chestnut mare beware. Like, and I will say, like, it's held pretty true in my experience. But this gal that I was talking to is the proud owner of a chestnut mare, and we just got to talking about where did that come from? Like, is that based in science? Is that just, you know, is it an old wives' tale? Does, you know, somebody way back when just have a really nasty chestnut mare and just started this or bad chestnut mare too, and it just, you know how reputations get started. So I decided that I would look into it, and I actually couldn't find the origin of that myth in particular, but I found some other sort of interesting similar I guess associations between certain horse colorings and markings with particular traits or omens. There seems to be a lack of consistency, you know, like, for instance, black horses. In Hungary and Spain, black horses are considered to be unlucky, but the French think that they're lucky. So I think it varies a lot from culture to culture. But I don't know. Do you have any experience with with similarities between horses of one color?
No, you know, do you, Jennifer? What?
Well, Americans seem to be anti-chestnut.
Yeah,
we're all the time hearing about, oh, the chestnuts have skin issues. Oh, chestnut mares are wacky. We seem to be anti-chestnut.
True. I hadn't thought of that. That is true.
We're bigots. We don't like chestnuts.
We don't like chestnuts.
There's probably a group out there supporting chestnuts, or there should be. We've owned chestnut mares before, haven't we, Jennifer?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. And they've only been a little crazy.
A little crazy.
It's all relative, folks. It's all relative.
Now, Grace, it seems like if you're going to get married, every marriage picture you ever see where they foolishly want a horse involved, it's always a gray. It has to. Like, is there a rule?
You know, I think that that's I've always had really positive associations with gray horses. I think the horses in fairy tales are always gray horses. The horses you see pulling the horse-drawn carriage in the wedding are always gray horses, you know. There's actually several cultures do not consider gray horses to be lucky at all. There's a British superstition that denotes that gray horses mean death. And they say that dreaming of a white horse means that somebody is going to die.
Okay.
I know, right? They're not, I guess, gray horses and horses with four white feet are not supposed to be lucky in racing. But then there's just as many sort of superstitions about gray horses that do indicate that they're lucky. Like, there's one that I found. Gray horses are thought to bring luck to a bride and groom if they're seen on the way to their wedding. Or a horseshoe from the hind leg of a gray mare is supposed to be particularly lucky. So, who knows? I think the jury is out on that one.
I never liked grays all that much, and that was only because I married into this horse thing. And when my first experiences were with grays that were just a little nutty. So I always associated gray horses with absolutely insane horses. So I think it depends on what your experience is when you first get involved in horses, whether you're a kid or an adult. And if you're around horses like the gray ones we were around, always just seem to be crazy. So, that's where my association with gray and crazy comes from.
Well, one gray horse that does seem to be pretty lucky is Becky Holder's horse, Courageous Comet, Becky had announced before the American Eventing Championships this past weekend that was going to be Comet's final upper-level competition. And, it seems like in the event world, there's a lot of horses that, horses, it's kind of like a revolving door for horses. Horses come, they go, they're stars, and then you never hear about them again. They just fall off the map. And Comet's one that has been around for, his partnership with Becky goes back, 10 years. And it has been on multiple U.S. teams. They represented the U.S. at the WEGS in 2010 and at the Beijing Olympics. And, I think they've gotten a second and a third place at Rolex. And they've really, over the years, become real crowd favorites. I think when they come in the ring and he's always just sparkling white and his ears are pricked and Becky has, such an air of confidence about her. I think you always know when they come in to do their dressage test, at Rolex or whatever, because there's just a huge roar that goes up through the crowd. So it's just a real fairy tale ending. I think, it's lucky when a horse gets to go out on top of its game, and that's what they did this weekend at the AECs. Did you guys keep up with that? This weekend?
No, we haven't actually. So, did she win?
She did. She won the advanced division. Yep. So.
Terrific.
Isn't that sweet?
Well, I'm looking here, too. One of the others that I've always had, and this is just me, is the Appaloosas with the white eyes. I can't get over the white eyes with Appaloosas. And I know it's just a me thing, and they're probably fine. But I I don't know. I think they're haunted.
I agree. Any horse with a little white around its eye. They just look a little bit, like I just can't read their expression. They just look a little bit crazy to me.
Yeah, I know. And I know they're probably fine.
Yeah,
and we're going to get letters. I'm sure you have I'm sure our listeners have lots of horses with white eyes are just fine. It's just something that I've never had or gotten used to. I've never really gotten used to it. All right. I love lists, and of course I do lists here on the show all the time. So you were doing some list making here over the past week.
I love lists too. I love lists in every area of my life. I like grocery lists. I like to-do lists. I love lists. So I thought I would make some horse lists, which has been sort of a fun thing that I think people have gotten a kick out of. We've had. I've made a list of, adorable baby horse pictures and let's see, what else? We had 10 jumps that scare the living crap out of us, 10 creepy horse mask pictures, 10 horses that aren't laughing with you, they're laughing at you, and my favorite, I think, was 9 men I wouldn't mind having around the farm. And
yeah, I noticed you posted that one.
You are welcome to mooch this idea for Horse Husbands United and make a list of 9 women you wouldn't mind having around the farm.
We're going to have to do that because this is just your excuse to post guys, half-naked guys on your page. That's pretty
absolutely.
Much
that was what it was. Thank you. You saw it. See, straight through me. My motivation.
Now, did you put the little captions on the picture?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah, I don't know where you found these pictures of these guys, you know, with more muscles than brains.
I had the best fun Googling sexy cowboy. Yeah.
Oh, I bet you did. I'm glad I never do that for the show. I never do that.
Never.
Well, this is great. If you want to see the 9 men I wouldn't mind having around the farm and everything else, you can go to horsenation.com. Now, you have to go there every day because what happens is you post so many stories that if you don't go there every day, they're just going to go on to the next page and you're going to have to scroll to find them.
That's right. You got to check it every day. That's
now, I'm seeing here, though, I'm looking at your number of views. And it looks like the 10 freaking adorable baby horses have gotten 4 times the number of views as the hot, sexy, half-naked guys.
Can you believe that? I guess.
It's because horse girls are horse girls, and they're horse girls. They'll always be horse girls. That's what that means.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Leslie. That's appreciate right. you being on. That's horsenation.com.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Well, we'll see Leslie again here next week for her report from Horse Nation. There is a lot of fun stuff on there. You can just go look. And one of the things I like, Jennifer, is that the articles are always very short. So with my attention span, I can read them quickly. Now, let's do a couple of other news stories before we wrap it up for the day. There was this article that came out, Jennifer, and of course, you know, it would catch my attention. And then I had to read it to realize it wasn't at all what I thought it was. The title of the article was Thongs Fly at Aussie Outback Olympics. Thongs Fly at Aussie Outback Olympics. And I got to thinking, oh, yeah, that's a great article. I got to check that out. What are they doing? You know, obviously, if the thongs are flying, they're coming off, you know? So it wasn't at all with that because I forgot that the English and the Aussies and down there in New Zealand, the Kiwis, they call flip-flops thongs. So it doesn't have at all the meaning that I thought this was going to have. Apparently, in the outback of Australia, in honor of the London Olympics, they held their own outback games with events that included camel equestrian racing, waterhole swimming, and flip-flop marathon. So that's where the thongs came from, because apparently they had this race with when you had to be in flip-flops. And the thongs were flying everywhere. Now, the swimming competition requires you to swim with crocodiles in a water hole. And I got to thinking, well, that sounds exciting. That could be an interesting spectator sport. And then they said, they clarified that it's actually a swimming pool with inflatable reptiles in it, big blow-up alligators.
Let me guess. These games were sponsored by a beer company.
Well, they were actually sponsored by the Tourism Board, who was trying to encourage people to come and participate in activities in Northern Australia, which is the tourist area up there. So, yeah, and then the camel racing, which I was thinking, well, maybe it was like the camel racing that we see occasionally. No, it was not like that. It was they were riding little stick horses, hobby horses, over an obstacle course. And you're right, there was probably large quantities of alcohol involved.
Yes, I'm guessing there was. Yep. There we go.
So for all the guys out there, it wasn't really thongs flying at all. It was flip-flops. I was kind of upset about that. The other story, Keeneland sales start today, this afternoon at 4 o'clock. This is their September sale. It's their yearling sale, which is, this is the one that they really, you know, you worked in that industry for a couple of years up in Kentucky. This is the sale that they really is the barometer of how things are going, right?
The September sale is the biggie, yes. Absolutely. Things that go well. And they're all very hopeful because they've been zhuzhing around the numbers and saying that the yearling sales and the sales in general are starting to make a comeback. So we'll see. It's fewer horses this year, though.
Yeah, the book is going to be smaller this year, and they're expecting 3,600 yearlings, 11 days of sale. It opens this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and you can watch this live, can't you, on their website?
Yes, you can go to Keeneland.com or just Google Keeneland, and they have a live feed of the sale. And it's really fun to watch. It really is. And you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to sign up for it. You just click a button and place. So they keep it really, really simple. And it is a lot of fun to watch. And I apologize in advance, Glenn, because I'm not going to get much done because I'm going to have the live feed going.
Oh, jeez. Between that and your music player, it's going to be you're going to have one in each.
I could have the music player going at the same time as the feed.
Should be sucking up all the bandwidth we have here in the studio.
Neighborhood won't be able to surf because I'm going to suck up all the bandwidth.
Hey, tell me, I have a question for you. What horse was sold for $11,000 as part of the yearling sale in 2010 that went on to be quite popular this year?
$11,000. This year.
I really liked this horse. So do.
I'll have another.
Yes, I'll have another. It was sold for $11,000 out of this sale, out of the Brook. It was actually in like a session that they're not even holding this year, but
it was just a breaking age, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just, you know, an average horse that they bought out of the Keeneland sales, and that ended up winning the Kentucky Derby this year. I'll have another. Then what else? This is something else too. AP Indy, the last babies from AP Indy, did AP Indy die or did they just retire?
He did. No,
he
AP.
Did. Right. No, I don't. I can't. Now, Jamie would know the answer to this right off the top of her head.
Yeah.
Look that up a while. I'm not sure whether he died or what the story was. But there are 36 offspring that are going through the sale. This is his last crop. 15 are cataloged into the sale. And, you know, Lane's End has had AP Indy for a long time. AP Indy in 1990 went through the sale, the Keeneland July yearling sale, bringing $2.9 million back in 1990. He's retired, but he's still alive, right, Jennifer?
According to Wikipedia, he is.
Okay. And he was bought.
He just retired, yeah.
Yeah, he was bought in 2009. For $2,900,000 in the yearling sale. And of course, he's been a big producer for Lane's End. He was a son of Seattle Salut. AP Indy was Horse of the Year champion as a 3-year-old mare in 92 when he won the Belmont Stakes, the Breeders' Cup Classic, Santa Anita Derby, Peter Pan Stakes, the San Rafael Stakes, and on and on and on. After entering a stud at Lane's End in Kentucky, he became the top stallion, leading all North American sires in progeny in 2003 and 2006, and has done quite well with his babies through the years. Do you think when they retire him, they're just tired of making babies anymore? He says, too tired for this. And the Viagra's not working?
That's pretty much it.
You know, the Viagra's not working anymore. And after you've covered as many mares as he has, it gets old after a while?
I think so.
I need to post this particular one. I need to post this particular question on Horse Husbands Unite over on Facebook about AP Indy retiring. And, you know, do you think that ever gets old? Apparently it does. Apparently AP Indy's given up. Do you think they bring one around every once in a while just for old time's sake?
Next topic.
Okay. What an ask. Speaking of racehorses, Painter. We have an update on Painter. Of course, Painter, one of the crop of this year, came down with colitis and ended up with laminitis as a result and was having a tough time. They didn't know if Painter was going to make it through the week. Well, Painter, apparently on Friday, it was announced that he's continued to gradually improve. He's passing the door and eating. He remains comfortable in his casts and is walking freely around the stall. His fever is under control, and his protein levels have stabilized. So all of that is good news for Painter.
Yeah, good thing.
So hopefully Painter will go on to a life of studliness. I don't know that he'll be racing after this, but maybe they could put him to work another way.
They're going to be lucky to be able to keep him vertical.
That's right. That's right. I think that's it for the news today. I don't really have any other news. Do you have any other news?
Well, got some news out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, just to get everybody's hackles up before we go for the day. The federal prosecutors are busily trying to prosecute the folks that were so famously pictured in those videos that came out a few months back, abusing some Tennessee walking horses, and Jackie McConnell, a trainer, famously pictured, and they're having a lot of trouble getting a prosecution going because the law under which they can prosecute this person really doesn't have any teeth. So at this point, it looks like really all they can do is fine him for a lot of money, up to $200,000.
They can give him probation for up to 5 years and a lot of money, but they're apparently, because the law was so weak, there's no jail sentence involved.
Yeah. Well, there was a reason that for 25 years this law has been on the books and they have never prosecuted anybody under it, because you really can't. It doesn't do anything.
Well,
so
the prosecutor,
call your lawmakers, people.
The prosecutor is asking the judge to prohibit McConnell from owning, exhibiting, selling, transporting, working with or training horses, or even assisting in the training of horses. So basically, you know, stay away from horses. They're asking for that. That hasn't been final yet. The sentencing's coming up. Now, one of the things that they just got done with the Tennessee Walking Horse National Celebration end of the week ago, and apparently because of this and all the promotion that this has all gotten and all the press, the federal inspectors were there and were disqualifying anybody they could find that had anything up, which I'm glad to see, and they disqualified five times the normal number of horses.
In the first week, yeah. Well,
so they were actually on scene and in numbers.
Yep. Yep. Hate to say it, but I kind of think they've brought it on themselves.
Yep. Yep. If you can't police yourselves, then at some point something's going to happen like this. What is it, Nightline or one of those did the, I can't remember which, 2020, one of those did the video and the undercover thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get caught at some point. So
what?
If everybody does the same thing without the drugs and without all the soaring and everything they were doing here, you're on the level playing field again.
Well, see, that's the thing. Is somebody has to have the guts to step up and not.
I know. And then win by not, you know.
Right.
And then that starts to change things. But you're absolutely right. It takes some guts.
Now, folks, we're on your side. All of our listeners are out here who are going to send us lots and lots of emails and lots of Facebook posts. Don't tell us we're on your side. Tell your lawmaker.
Yep. That's right. They're the ones that need to know. Well, very good, Jennifer. Thank you for filling in today. Jamie will be back on Wednesday and Friday this week. We'll both be back. Don't forget, I wanted to remind everybody again that we're doing a special tomorrow morning, something I wanted to do, tomorrow morning for 9/11. We're calling it Where Were You on 9/11, and it's a tribute show to everybody that lost their lives on 9/11. It's going to be a little bit more serious show tomorrow morning, and we're recording that this afternoon. We'll have it for you tomorrow. We have some things planned for it, but one of the things is we want to hear what you were doing on 9/11, and we're doing some interviews, and, you know, everybody has a story to tell of where they were and what they were doing. You can give us a call on our voicemail line and leave yours, and we'd love to have more voicemails. I have several here that the people that have called in, and we'd like some more. So give us a call at 270-803-0025, 270-803-0025. That's our voicemail line. We posted it on Facebook again as well. Leave us a voicemail. Do it this morning or early afternoon, because we're going to be putting the show together this afternoon. We would love to hear from you, so please do get back to us about that. We appreciate all of your help. Don't forget, you can hear all of the past shows on horsesinthemorning.com. You can hear every show back to number one, and you can also find us on iTunes. That's the way most people listen now. Just go to iTunes, the podcast section, and search for Horses in the Morning. And all of our other shows are on there, too, for the Horse Radio Network. You can find them all there. And what I don't mention too often is that there is a master feed for all the shows. If you listen to a lot of the shows on the network, it might be easier just to subscribe to one feed, and that's Horse Radio Network. If you go to iTunes and search for Horse Radio Network and podcasts, you'll find that feed covers all the different shows and brings them all to you every week, so you won't miss any, including Jennifer's Horse Tip Daily. Thank you, Jennifer.
You're welcome.
Have a great day, everybody. And spay, neuter, and geld.
Write your congressman.
Thanks.